Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Brame.
Crossover, step back! That's
the buzzer! Right here on 960theref.com.
What's up, everybody? Sam Franco, Chris Brame back. It is The Crossover Podcast right here on 960theref.com. And we'll go ahead and start this episode off by saying big things coming for The Crossover in 2019. Don't want to give away too much, but things are escalating around here.
Yeah, our brand is powerful, Sam.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Brand awareness. Did you see that quote when Darren Revelle left ESPN for that new The Action Network, that thing about sports gambling? Like, he's leaving ESPN, and he goes, "Well, they're paying for my brand." I wanted to barf when I read that.
Yeah, that's like it's not even new anymore. I mean, it's been several years now, but the brand, yeah, that is this buzzword.
Right.
Is just,
yeah. Well, I'm leaving ESPN because they're paying me for my brand. I'm like, get the hell out of here with that.
What was ESPN paying him?
He can't
be making more at something called the Action Network than he was at ESPN, can he?
Well, as Marshawn Lynch would say, they're about that action, boss.
Yeah, so. I guess so.
On today's episode, we'll, go back and talk about the SEC Championship. We'll talk about Mel Tucker leaving the Dogs, going to Colorado. DeAndre Baker had made his announcement that he's going to play in the Sugar Bowl, which might be a little surprising just because of some of the players we've seen say that they're not playing in their bowl games. And then on the back half, or the back end, rather, of the podcast, we'll hit Atlanta United as they are getting ready to take on the Portland Timbers for the MLS Cup. And they'll be doing so with an MVP in tow, and that was announced the other day. So we'll get to all that. But first, we got to go back to it. The SEC Championship, once again, a game that Georgia had under control in the first half, and even there in the second. Tua Tagovailoa gets hurt, and things get kind of turned over on their head because it just didn't look like Georgia was ready for Jalen Hurts in terms of the way that he plays and provides a little something different and his ability to run, get out to the edge. It was just, it didn't look like Georgia was ready for Hurts, and just kind of a flip-flop of the national championship game where the backup quarterback comes in to save the day. It's just the roles had been reversed.
Yeah. I mean, that's another one of those only at Georgia moments where Georgia plays like the starring role in this, it really is. I mean, if it wasn't happening to Georgia, it would be a story I think we'd be able to appreciate more is to see, this guy who had been benched, lost his job to this better player.
Yeah.
But then have to come in and save the day in the end. And, I mean, he's going to end up transferring. But the guy now is an all-time Alabama legend. Like, I almost think he could transfer to Auburn and he'd still be like an all-time Alabama legend now with the way he at least stuck out this season and didn't leave during the year like, a guy like Kelly Bryant did at Clemson. But, I'm having a hard time appreciating it all, though, since it did happen against Georgia.
How many losses does Jalen Hurts have in his career as a starting quarterback?
Two. Yeah, that's it.
So that, I think we tend to forget that. So wherever he does transfer, he's going to get a good quarterback. We did just see where Kelly Bryant, the Clemson quarterback, former Clemson quarterback, is transferring to Missouri. So he'll step right into Drew Locke's position, you would think. And, I don't know how much of a difference it is between Locke and Bryant, but Missouri will have a good quarterback there, and certainly Tua Tagovailoa will be back at Alabama, and it does seem like Jalen Hurts would transfer to go somewhere else, but, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
I guess we could see what ends up going on there, but Hurts just came in, and it's so funny because I think a lot of people, a lot of Georgia fans, when Hurts came in and Tua was out, they're like, oh, this game's over, and it's like, I mean, just again, keep in mind that Hurts had only lost two games in his college career. The guy's a good quarterback. Is he as good as Tua? No, but still a very good quarterback and definitely was able to keep their offense running at normal efficiency. And despite all of that, you would still think that giving him a longer field to work with would be the better idea than faking a punt on 4th and 11 when putting in a quarterback in that formation who had never been in that formation, or at least normally hadn't been in that formation. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Nick Saban was on the other sideline, right? You think that's going to fool him?
No, and I mean, it didn't. And like everyone has said, even Saban has acknowledged at first, Swift was there uncovered as an eligible receiver, but they recognized it, and we took too long to snap it, and it just we had to get out of the play and not be so committed to it.
Call a timeout.
Yeah, or even take the delay of game penalty.
That, too, or even, like, I've been saying this, and I know this is probably putting a lot on a player, but there's got to be some sort of kill switch to a play like that. You know what I mean? Where you see it completely – you know, guessed by the other
right.
team, and maybe at some point, you know, Fields just takes a snap, and when he sees it's not there, punt it. You know what I mean? Just drop the ball and kick it, because it can't be any worse than what happened.
Yeah. Well, remember, we attempted a fake punt in the national championship game, but we had Ramsey in there,
mm-hmm.
and then he just ended up punting it.
Although right.
that thing almost got blocked because he took a while, but you could see, like, we even tried it there pretty much – the same. It was around midfield, not quite at the 50. I think we were in Alabama territory then. But yeah, we attempted one then. But we had Ramsey, who had done some punting, was able to at least get out of it when whatever it was we wanted to do wasn't there. But look, it was a horrible decision. But you know, there were a lot of things that led to Georgia's demise, and primarily when Hurts came in the game. I'll be honest with you. His first pass was completing that 3rd and 12.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't converted a third down the whole game until that moment when he scrambles and hits that play.
That leaves a sour taste in your mouth. You're like, oh, that's their first third down conversion. This isn't good.
Yeah. Well, then it was at that moment that flashed in my mind that, like,
oh no,
he's going to come in and save the day the way Tua did, and that's exactly what ended up happening.
Yeah, and again, it just feels like giving him the longer field to work with would have been the smarter decision as opposed to faking that punt. Because,
yeah.
Look, if he goes 80 yards or whatever and drives them to a game-winning touchdown, so be it. You know, I mean, he took him the high length of the field. But when you're giving him the ball, I mean, whoa, what did it end up being on? Their own 48?
Yeah, because we picked up 2 yards. So
okay, so it was on their own 48.
Yeah.
It's like, so basically, I mean, and that's the thing, too, because the game was tied at the time. So I know that their field goal situation has been murky, but all they needed was 3. I mean, they end up getting the 7 because Saban probably didn't trust his kicker. But, you know, they could have easily just taken the 3. And it was just unfortunate that that's how it went down, because Georgia played an excellent game for the most part around that. Jake Fromm was incredible. Georgia was running the football against them, and that was one thing that a lot of people said going into the game that Georgia would be able to do, because this Alabama team, outside of Quinnen Williams, isn't as good at stuffing the run as they've been in the past. And Georgia had the run game. I mean, Swift and Holyfield were very good and very effective against Alabama.
Well, yeah, and I think their pass defense, too. You know, they had a freshman, Patrick Surtain, who's basically started the whole season.
Fromm was carving them up.
Yeah, I mean, he was that's as good a performance as I've ever seen out of a Georgia quarterback, given the circumstances and the stakes and the game that he was playing. I mean, and also you factor in the opponent too. You're playing Alabama. Fromm was just razor sharp in that game. But you know, in the end, I at least still sit here and say, you know what, we didn't win either of the games, and that's what makes it so tough. But I mean, you can't. I mean, you got it. We're every bit their equal now, though.
Oh yeah,
I mean, we've played them just blow for blow, 2 games in a row.
Well, and it gets into the whole deserving versus best four when the playoff discussion comes down. And I don't think a 2-loss Georgia team that didn't win the SEC deserved to go to the playoff, but that doesn't mean they're not one of the best four teams. And that's where sort of the philosophical nature of this comes into play. It's like, at some point, there's got to be a defining criteria as how you get in. Because every year, we've seen that criteria change. And that's what Kirby Smart was alluding to after Georgia ended up 5th in the college football playoff rankings. He's like, well, the criteria keeps changing. Because, you know, last season Alabama got in, because they were better than a conference champion Ohio State. Granted, Ohio State had two losses and Alabama had one, whereas this year Georgia had two and Oklahoma had one. And I don't even think it's Georgia versus Oklahoma. To me, it's Georgia versus Notre Dame in terms of team that should be in the playoff, because I think Oklahoma earned it. They avenged their loss, so they beat every team that was on their schedule. And, again, they allow a lot of points, but they also score a lot of points. And I think Alabama better be careful in that game, because I think that, yes, they'll be able to score and move the ball at will on Oklahoma, but Oklahoma should be able to move the ball pretty well on them too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll look similar to the Rose Bowl.
That's exactly what
we had. A terrific defense, and they were able to move on us. Now, in the second half, we did lock them down. They only scored a touchdown. But
they also got much more conservative. They kind of took the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands.
Well, yeah, I mean, that one short yardage play, too, was it in overtime when they ran that, like, jet sweep to Kyler Murray that put him in the game instead of just leave it in the hands of Mayfield? And then they kicked the field goal when all they needed was a yard. So that definitely helped. But I just know, I'm self-aware enough to know that if we were sitting here somewhere else and evaluating a two-loss Georgia team that didn't win the SEC title,
we wouldn't have them Georgia in the playoffs.
Fans, I know, we wouldn't be promoting them as a team that should be in the playoff.
But it is kind of crazy that these national media types, I mean, I've heard this past week, I've heard Kirk Herbstreit, Jesse Palmer, a former Florida Gator quarterback, and there's one more, Gary Danielson. Well, they've all been stumping for Georgia, and I'm like, what is happening here?
Well,
this is bizarre.
Paul Feinbaum's another one, too. It's easy for them to, like, argue and make that case when they know that what they're arguing.
It's a moot point.
Right? It's not going to happen one way or another, and it just, I don't know. I mean, I'm always sort of skeptical about the idea of clickbait and just it's a TV show and they're for ratings, so they're, you know, what's their outrageous take that can get people, you know, really like talking? Mm-hmm. And I guess Georgia is one of the four best teams in the country, which I think everyone would acknowledge.
Yeah, I don't think that's it's arguable, but that's not a point that the majority of people wouldn't co-sign to. It's
right.
Like, yes, Georgia is one of the best four teams in the country. They might be one of the best two, just based on what we just saw.
I just know that if we were sitting somewhere else in the country and weren't Georgia fans, we would say, no, Georgia had it shot, though.
They did.
And they lost two games, and now the games have to matter, and let's see something else. But, I mean, the point of we don't have, like, a clearly defined set of rules for this.
No.
And the goalposts keep moving every year. And even in the rankings this year, if you want to tell me that they like Georgia, but in the end, they wanted to take this team that had one loss and won its conference. Okay, but why are we still ranked ahead of Ohio State then?
Here's that was my whole justice. That's exactly what I said after the thing. It's like, okay, because Rob Mullins, the Oregon AD, who's the head of the committee right now, said that we took those three teams, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, and we could not differentiate between them. So what did we do? We went to quote-unquote protocol. And the protocol dictated that they take a conference champion. But that's like, well, we just caught you in bullcrap. Because if protocol dictated that the conference champion should go, then Ohio State should have been ranked ahead of Georgia.
Exactly.
So, again, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. We should be sixth.
Right. And so they put their foot in their mouth there. And this is why I think ultimately, in order to even this out, I mean, I guess it could go to six teams, but I'll just say I think it should be eight. The five conference champions would be guaranteed a spot in, regardless of what else happened. And I know a lot of people say, well, what happened if you get an upset in a conference title game? It's called the NCAA basketball tournament. That happens all the time, where you get teams that wouldn't normally be in, and that's just how it is. And so if a really good team gets upset in the conference title game, guess what? There's still three at-large spots in an eight-team playoff that they might be able to get into. And I would also, just to kind of eliminate the arguments and the whining from the group of five teams, I would guarantee them a spot in the playoff, but with a caveat.
They have to be undefeated.
Not even that. Yeah. I would just say, I mean, and that you would think that was what would come with this territory, so maybe de facto you're right. They have to be ranked within the top eight. So they would have to be eight or higher to get in.
Right.
Because if not, then they're not deserving.
Well,
at least
sure.
I wouldn't think so. So right now, for example, UCF at eight would be in.
Yeah, but the thing is then if the selection committee knew that, well, if they we ranked them in
they
the top
might rank
eight, they
them outside
be, yeah, they'll
of
manipulate
that.
It so they're not in the top eight.
That's fair. That's totally fair. So I would think that there would need to be some sort of caveat, because you can't have like a, I don't know, an 8-3 you can't have an 8-4 group of five team in the playoffs.
No.
You just can't.
Or even, I mean, even if one went 11-1 with the schedules that they play, you
right.
probably have a hard time putting them in. They'd almost have to be undefeated.
But don't you think a few years ago, because remember, Houston beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
And they started the next season off ranked pretty highly.
Well, if
they had run the table that year,
they'd have been in.
They would have been in.
But that's the thing. They had a win.
They had
over
a win
Oklahoma.
Over Oklahoma, and I think they
they'd
also
Louisville
was
before the Louisville completely fell, became garbage.
Right.
I mean, that Louisville team's still a Lamar Jackson
and,
on it.
But that's the thing. A lot of people are saying that nobody will play UCF.
Stanford is next year.
They are.
Stanford goes to Orlando
right,
next year.
Right. So that'll be an interesting one for sure. And it's unfortunate, too, because LSU right now is in a lose-lose spot, going all the way out to Arizona to play them in a bowl. This is where the committee messed up, too. Why aren't Florida and UCF playing?
That'd be nice to see, but because the Peach Bowl didn't want UCF again.
Right. Well, so. why couldn't Florida go out to Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess
that's what I'm saying.
There's a pecking order, and probably the Peach Bowl picked Florida first. I don't know.
I guess. I don't really know how that works, but it just seems like they screwed up by not making that happen. And again, like I said, LSU's in a lose-lose spot because Mackenzie Milton's out. So if you beat UCF, it's just like, well, they didn't have their quarterback. And if you lose to them, you know, it's like, well, you lost to UCF. So
yeah, I know, like, a lot of people are probably going to be rooting for LSU just to go ahead and shut those guys up.
Yeah, exactly.
Mackenzie Milton or no Mackenzie Milton. But their guy, Greedy Williams, has said he's not playing.
Yes.
Devin White is.
Yes, and Devin White just won the Butkus Award, which is good for them.
Best was riding around the campus country. On that horse.
That horse was sweet.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
Daisy May.
Yeah, that's right. He had two horses named, was one named Ricky Bobby, I think, or one.
I only saw Daisy.
Okay,
May.
So there was he has two horses.
Yeah,
I think
his horse. That was like the coolest thing, though. He just like last week one
he
day,
was like riding around Death Valley, like with his
and,
horse
like, all over campus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That was cool. But again, I think LSU's in a lose-lose situation. One thing I will say about Georgia, because look, I think Clemson is going to beat the snot out of Notre Dame, and Georgia better not lose that game next year. Because Georgia fans right now are all kind of high and mighty that we're better than Notre Dame, we should be in the playoff over them, or we should be in the playoff over Oklahoma. Well, you've got a chance to prove that in September next year when Notre Dame comes to town.
Yeah. Well, we beat them last year.
I know, but I'm just saying, you better not lose that game because of all of the, you know, sort of, I guess, feelings about Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, next year's schedule is really
it's tough.
It's tough because you throw
especially
in Notre
that back
Dame,
half,
and they'll have Ian Book, and yeah, the last month of the season, you go Florida, Missouri, which now has Kelly Bryant.
Yeah, so Florida and Jacksonville, Missouri and Athens,
at Auburn,
Texas A&M in Athens, and then at Tech.
Yeah, Tech should be awful next year, though.
Yeah, because it looks like they're going to hire Ken Whisenhunt.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything.
No, and he's also going to have there's going to be at least a year where he's transitioning out of that triple option.
They're going to have to get themselves like a grad transfer quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will. I mean, he's going to have to. And, I mean, some of those other guys, I mean, you've got dudes in offenses like that can run.
Like, it doesn't affect your defense necessarily. I mean, it affects your offensive line, and it affects your receivers.
Well, they don't have a tight end.
Right.
But some of those guys, they could move to running back, receiver, but they're going to need bigger O linemen. They're going to need to get a tight end at some point. Primarily, first and foremost, they're going to need to get a quarterback. You know who might be a big ticket free agent this offseason is that Khalil Tate.
That's right. That could be an interesting one.
I think somebody asked him if he was coming back or something, and I think he is on track to graduate this month. That he just said, no comment.
You know who else could be interesting?
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he ain't going to go to Tech.
You don't think so? It's close.
I hope not, but maybe I hope we do. We can get even with them then.
That's a good point.
They won't beat us even with them.
That's a good point.
That
would
be awful.
Switching focus now to the Sugar Bowl. And one guy that Georgia won't have is Mel Tucker, their defensive coordinator, who is off to Colorado. Wish him nothing but the best. I think he'll do good there, especially because right now the Pac-12 is kind of up for grabs. You know, I know that USC just brought in Cliff Kingsbury to be their offensive coordinator, and that might be one where they bring him in, and if their offense is good but they're still not great, that Could he be a coach kind of that takes over for Clay Helton? I don't know if he's the head coach at USC material, especially after what just happened at Texas Tech. But
he is with that look, though.
He's got the look.
He's got that L.A. look.
I guarantee you that he will say this next sentence multiple times a day. No, but I get that all the time. You know, he'll be walking around L.A. and
hey,
they'll be like,
you?
Hey, are you? And he'll be like, no, but I get that all the time. But that's a good move for them. But, no, I think that if Mel Tucker can go into L.A., because here's the thing. There's enough players in L.A. for USC, UCLA, and a couple of other programs in the Pac-12 to get good players. And who's going to be the other programs besides USC and UCLA? I'm sure Mel Tucker wants it to be Colorado. I know it's Oregon a lot, but if Colorado could get a foothold in there, they could get some good players.
Sure. I mean, that's what Colorado and even like Nebraska was doing in the 80s and 90s. You know, like Rashawn Salaam, you know, Lawrence Phillips, you know, came from, I think he was from California too.
He's from Fort Collins.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a good job for Mel Tucker. Whether or not it's successful or not remains to be seen. But he's not leaving a really good job in Athens, which he had for any old head coaching position. So I think it's
a
good
job. Well, look at Jim McElwain now. He's at Central Michigan.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, it's not like he jumped to like, oh, man, Tech, I could go coach at Tech. You know, that'd be a terrible place for him to go. So Colorado's a good spot for him. And, you know, now Georgia's got to try and fill some big shoes there, especially when it comes to recruiting.
Yeah, and you wonder if they'll just promote from within. Will it be Glenn Schumann who gets the gig, or will they bring in someone from the outside? I guess.
What about Brian Van Gorder?
No, thanks.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
Like, the only time he was ever good at coaching, though, was when he was here, right?
He was kind of decent as the Falcons OC for a little bit, right?
I don't know. He was there for a while.
He was.
I guess he did okay, sure. Yeah.
Fine. But, no, I think that certainly it's going to be an interesting job for Mel Tucker out there just because, you know, it's a school that at times has been good, but, you know, there's a fan base that needs some rallying out there, that's for sure. They've been kind of up and down. And, I mean, they were real down for a while. Just go back to the Dan Hawkins era.
Yeah. Of course, they beat us.
I
think that was Dan Hawkins' last win, wasn't it?
I think he got a win recent because
he's in the Canadian Football League now.
I thought he was back in college.
Oh, is he?
I think
last
so.
Last time I was aware, he was coaching somewhere in Canada.
But anyway, that program needs a resurgence, and maybe Mel Tucker, maybe he's the guy to do it. In terms of Georgia, we'll see who they bring in. One bit of good news that Georgia got for the Sugar Bowl, DeAndre Baker announcing that he's going to play. And we've seen what now? Greedy Williams say that he's not going to play for LSU. Nick Bosa, obviously, but that was earlier in the season. And we've seen some other guys come out and say that they're not going to play in their bowls.
A couple guys at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Because Mike Gundy said that they weren't going to play in the game to pursue other interests.
That's right.
You know, it's like, well, they're turning –
They're
going to turn pro and play football. But the way he said it, you know, they're not going to be here to pursue other interests. Like, oh, okay.
Other interests.
They're going to be chess masters? What are they off to do? But, yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, here's the thing. Like, if Baker decided, you know what, I'm going to focus on my pro career and not do it, I'm
more
not going
to
hold that against him.
More
power
to him.
But if he wants to play, sure. He's our best player on defense. We could definitely use him in that game because, you know, I'll admit, I mean, I'm certainly not as fired up about this game as we were a year ago getting set to go play Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. But,
right. You
know, we're in the Sugar Bowl playing Texas, so it's a great matchup and a great bowl game. But, you know, motivation is going to be the key for Georgia. I mean, in the end, of course, we want to win it.
Yeah.
You know, because the record then would be, 11-3 if we didn't win? You know, so a chance to finish 12-2 and have notch another win over Texas would be better than 11-3. But in the end, if we don't win the Sugar Bowl, do we feel like suddenly are we less optimistic about 2019?
Not really, but I do think that you don't really have the letdown factor with this game because it's Texas, so it's a big brand. And I also
think that word again.
Well, and I think Kirby Smart too realizes that this is a big game because Georgia and Texas, while they're not always battling for recruits. Because, look, Georgia, under Kirby Smart, is becoming a national recruiting program. They're not focused on any one region. And so they're going to go head-to-head with Texas for some players. And, you know, you get a win over them, something you can hold over some people's heads in recruiting, you know?
Well, I mean, we could be running into them in the playoff next
of course.
Year. I mean,
absolutely.
Texas is definitely on that.
They're on the up trajectory.
Second year under Herman, and here they are in the Sugar Bowl. And keep in mind, in his first year, I mean, they had four losses by, like, a total of 7 points or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, even in his first year, they were – you could definitely see the signs that things were getting turned around.
Yeah. But, like, am I bummed that Georgia's not in the playoff? Absolutely. But I'll be there on New Year's Day in New Orleans. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure a lot of Georgia fans will be there. I mean, look, you get to spend a New Year's Eve on Bourbon Street. What more could you want?
Second trip there, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where everyone was heading on their way to LSU earlier.
That's right. Although this time you don't have to go to Baton Rouge. You just stay in New Orleans.
Just stay
the whole
in New
time.
Orleans this time. Yeah, you're going to make the trip to the casinos there?
I am. I am on the way down on New Year's Eve. I will stop in the Beau Rivage in Biloxi, and I'll put some action down. I'm trying to think because I would have to basically just bet on New Year's Day games because I have to go back the next day to pick up the winnings or if there are winnings. You know, I'm looking at some of those games. Like I haven't seen a line yet on Ohio State Washington. I would probably take Ohio State because it's Urban Meyer's last game. So you think the players might play up for him? So maybe take them. I know right now if the line stays where it's at, I thought about Texas, but I think Georgia can go. That's a tough one. This is a tough game to take.
For Georgia, it's all about the motivation. If they're motivated and want to be there, they should win and cover the spread.
What is it around, like 10? I mean,
10.5 is the last I looked.
Okay.
But, you know, you're also bucking the Tom Herman underdog. I know they didn't cover the Big 12 title game, so that puts – he's 12-2-1 ATS as an underdog with 9 straight-up wins. The other point, the Rose Bowl, too, Urban Meyer in bowl games is, unless he's playing Dabo Sweeney, Meyer's money in bowl games. And Peterson's teams have not performed well in bowl games.
Right.
So,
and again, I just think this is
little
the do-it.
Trends you got to keep in mind.
Of course. But I think this is like the do-it for Urban. You know what I mean?
You got to consider that, too, is do they just go all out for him since it is his last game until he decides to resurface at you know, somewhere.
And their offense,
a couple of years.
The past two games against Michigan and Northwestern, they found it. They found it on offense.
Yeah,
they
definitely
had kinda,
woke up.
They had kind of lost it a little bit, but no, they're back and running at pretty good efficiency right now. So I think that's definitely going to be one to look for. So, yes, I will be heading to Biloxi. I've just got to figure out what I want my action to be when I get there. I think there's even some I guess there will be some NFL. Maybe I can take that because I guess the 31st is Monday night. And there won't be a Monday night game then.
So, New Year's Day's on a Tuesday?
Yes.
There'll probably be a Monday night game. No, because that's the last
week. I think
weekend.
That's the last week, so they don't have the Monday nighter. So, I can't really take any NFL action.
So, you're not going until...
I'm leaving on the 31st. Like, I'll do the morning show here, and at 10 a.m., I'm going to hit the road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I'll get to the Beau about 4 their time.
All right. Yeah, so you won't have many options then, except for
other than college
New Year's
football
Day games.
And I'm trying to think. So, we've got the Rose, we've got the Sugar... And then there's some other New Year's Day games like some of the other bowls.
Well, like the Citrus Bowl is on New Year's
right.
Day,
and that's an awful game, I think, because they got
Kentucky and Penn State.
Yeah,
both those teams will be fired up to play in it, though.
They will be, particularly Kentucky, because you know the Capital One Bowl as it used to be. You know, now that used to be the prime SEC bowl that wasn't like a quote unquote BCS bowl.
Yeah. Well, here's your options. Mississippi State and Iowa, that's the Outback Bowl.
Ooh.
LSU, UCF, and the Fiesta.
Okay.
That kicks off at 1, so that's going to kick off at
10 a.m. Or no, it's 11 a.m.
Yeah,
I
sometimes they're 2 back and sometimes they're 3.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are right
now.
Yeah. It's probably 11 a.m.
That's
they're
horrible, though,
right
man.
Now.
It's so bad.
I would take
UCF in the points, probprobably.
So 7.5 is what you're getting right now.
Yeah.
Then you got the Citrus Bowl, Kentucky and Penn State, and then the Rose and the Sugar.
Okay.
So those are you got five games on New Year's Day.
Might have to throw some first or second half action in there too, just to make it interesting.
You would have to think that Mississippi State Iowa would be one that might shade to the under 44.5 with those defenses.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that's true. See, this is why I'm glad I do a podcast with you, because I will be able to check in a few more times before I head down to the Biloxi.
And then, I mean, Penn State, they should probably
You think they should wax
Kentucky?
Right?
James Franklin's like, I played these guys and beat them when I was at Vandy. I think I can handle them at Penn State.
That's true. Will this be what, McSorley's last game, I guess?
Yeah.
And he's not being touted as like a high NFL guy either, which is kind
of
weird.
Yeah, he seems like one of those guys that like the Patriots will turn into a slot receiver.
Maybe.
Like, he'll be like a Julian Edelman or something.
Although they've got that Isabella guy from UMass they can take.
Oh, they'll take
him.
He's
the next Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, before we get out of here, wanted to throw some love to Joseph Martinez, the MLS MVP, joining Dale Murphy twice, Terry Pendleton, Chipper Jones, and Matt Ryan. Those are your Atlanta professional sports MVPs.
So the Hammer never won one in Atlanta.
Did not.
Okay. All right.
The Hawks had Pettit win back-to-back, but they were both in St. Louis.
I forgot about Terry Pendleton.
I know.
Because, you know, I mean, Barry Bonds should have won that MVP.
That's what people say.
Yeah. I forgot about him. I knew Ryan Murphy, Chipper. I guess Neek never won one, but...
Chipper should have had a rookie of the year, too, if it wasn't for Hideo Nomo and his like, non-rookie self.
Yeah, but he was like 35 years old. He won the rookie of the year. So, yeah, he's the first Atlanta footballer since Matt Ryan to win
That's
the
correct.
MVP.
Yes.
Yeah, 31 goals.
Yeah, so he won the Golden Boot, the Golden Boot for most goals scored in the league. One of the cooler things about this is that Joseph Martinez finished first. Miguel Almirón, his teammate, finished second.
Okay.
So you had 1-2 in the MVP voting, which is cool. Almirón looks like he's off to Newcastle in the Premier League after this game coming up Saturday. And, look, it's an interesting game for Atlanta because they should win. They're the better team. But it could have been either Portland or Kansas City. Those are the two teams in the Western Conference Finals, and people were asking me who I'd rather play. Kansas City, probably the better overall team, defense harder to break down. But Portland has players that can create that moment of magic more so than Kansas City.
Well, tell me
does.
Who I'm betting on Saturday.
I don't. I haven't seen a spread.
Hang on, I'll find one.
I would assume that Atlanta's probably like a goal and a half favorite or something like that. That would be my guess.
I got to scroll through, of course, all the Premier League games.
Oh, of course.
Here we go. Portland-Atlanta. Atlanta's a big favorite. -227 on the money line.
Wow.
Portland is +570. A draw would be +338 if it went to penalty
kicks. I guess
it was.
So if it went to penalty, okay.
What about the over-under, 2.5?
I'd hammer the over. I think Atlanta United probably wins. I mean, if they play their game and if everything goes according to plan, they'd win like 3-1.
Okay. So I'm all in on Atlanta and the over as a parlay.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. See, now I'm helping
you
out.
All right.
But no, hopefully Atlanta brings home a championship because the city needs it.
Well, the Falcons aren't going to be doing it. The Hawks aren't going to be doing it. So the next chance we've got
it'd
at
be
one
the Braves,
would be
I guess.
The Braves. Yeah. And they're not quite ready yet. To
they're
win
close
the World Series, but yeah, they're getting close.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Astros the year before they won.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah. So we'll see if they end up able to do it. But when we reconvene next week, I'm going to go ahead and call it, Brian. Trophy time, baby! Atlanta United.
I hope so because I'm going to do that parlay.
All right. So for Chris Braham, I'm Sam Franco. We'll be back next week. Again, like I said to start this show, big things coming for the crossover in 2019 as we might be getting a little more loaded around here.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
That'll be good.
If you know what I mean. All right, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Thank y'all so much for listening. And like I said, with those big things coming, the reason they're coming is because of all of you out there. So we appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget to download on iTunes. Give us that rate and review 5 stars. We greatly appreciate it. And that's it for us. So for Chris Braham, I'm Sam Franco. Thank you so much for listening. Back next week with another episode of The Crossover right here on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover with Sam Franco and Chris Braham on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.